Like we're ready to go online and here in person. So welcome to those of you who are online. Welcome to those of you who have gathered here. It's good to see your faces. Thanks for being here with us this morning. Whether we are maybe starting worship, if you've just joined online, or just continuing worship as we have been, let's start with some prayer here. Lord, it's all about you. Whether we just rolled out of bed or whether we've been here for a while, we turn our attention and our focus to the only one who deserves it. We give you thanks and praise for who you are and that you share yourself with us, your abundance, your generosity, your goodness, your holiness, your very Son and Spirit. We give you thanks and praise for who you are. We come in awe of you. And we come expecting to be awed by you again, because you are here in this place. You are with us wherever we are. And as we turn to focus on you, we trust that you turn your attention to us. So Lord, thank you. Praise you. Amen. Let's do our call to worship here. Just an FYI, for those of you who can't see this online, our big TV that we had purchased died, and so we have a little one. So you're going to notice that some people here are going to be squinting. I'm going to notice that you're squinting, and some of you here are not going to be able to read the words on the screen as well as other weeks, because we had to use our backup here. Nevertheless, this is the way that God greets you this morning. Grace and peace to you from the one who is and who was and who is coming. One of the things I love about this greeting is that it reminds me of how infinite God is. And yet he turns his attention toward the small people like us, just little people. Let's do our call to worship together. If you're able to read it, please read along. From the place where the sun rises to the place where it sets. All people will offer worship and love to our God. Amen. And as a form of worship, let's recite the Apostles' Creed. This is the shorter one. I believe in God. Sorry, I should have done that. I forgot that I'm leading you and should go more slowly. Let's do it again together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Before we move into the message, which will be a little shorter. What I wanted to do is give you some family updates and from a variety of different segments of our family. And I wanted to actually start with our ABA family. So we are a part of an association of other Baptist churches, North American Baptist churches, and the ABA is the Alberta Association of that. And so we have about 50 odd churches here in Alberta that fall, that have joined and associated together under this denomination. And so many of you will be familiar with Terry Fossen. Terry is our regional minister. He's spoken here a number of times. He's helped us out quite a bit on council. We really appreciate him. Actually, Kevin and I got to have lunch with him last week. It's always a good time. Anytime you get to see Terry, it's a good time. Terry is going on sabbatical in September. But Terry is no longer alone in serving these churches. Terry has recently hired a new associate regional minister. His name is Matt Wilkes. And Matt is a pastor, a senior pastor down in Calgary at Renfrew Baptist, another one of our churches down there. And so he's going to be splitting his time between serving the association as a whole and serving his local church. And so I just mentioned that simply to let you know that you may be hearing the name Matt Wilkes from time to time, or he may be helping us out at some point. And so this is just another one of the people that God has put in place to serve our churches. Second, our NAB conference. So we are North American Baptist by brand, by family, however you want to describe that. And every 3 years, our conference gets together for a triennial. And so this, we have about 400-ish churches, mostly in Canada and the States, though a few overseas as well, as well as quite a number of missionaries overseas. And so we get together every 3 years at a conference. And so I was actually able to attend that this past weekend. And in previous years, they have always been in person, but this year is online. And so I've actually been here long enough that this is my third triennial. And so the first one I went to was in Sacramento. And the second one that I went to was actually here in Edmonton. And this year's was supposed to be in St. Paul, Minnesota. But something happened this year that disrupted such plans. And so it ended up being online this year due to COVID and all that stuff. And it was still a really good and interesting triennial. And so I just thought I'd share about that for a few minutes, because this is part of the wider family that we are a part of here. And so the first and most exciting thing that I got to do was go to a business meeting. Like, woohoo! Couldn't wait for that, to be sure. Waiting 3 years to vote once again. And so, yeah, it was not a really exciting time, but there, and so I won't bore you with the details of the business meeting, except for there are two items that came up that I thought are probably of interest to those of us here locally. And one is that our NAB conference of 400-ish churches as a whole has always had an executive director being the one who reports to the board. So similar to a church where it's the pastor who serves the congregation and reports to a council, and it's the same structure when it comes to the denomination. All of the churches are sort of the people, and then there's an executive director functioning as a pastor of sorts, and then that executive director reports to a board. And our new executive director is actually local, or from Alberta. His name is Dr. Harry Kelm, and he has been a longtime pastor down in Calgary. He served a number of places, but the most recent place was down in Calgary at Grace Baptist in Calgary, one of the larger churches down there. And so he recently took this position. I believe he's actually moved to Sacramento for the position. And so this is just, you may hear Dr. Harry Kelm's name from time to time if you hear about anything related to the NAB. And so he's our guy now. And so we can be praying for him. And then Terry Fossen, our regional minister, was just recently appointed to the board that oversees this director. So Terry, he's got his hands in quite a number of things all the time. And so we can be praying for him as well as he serves on that board. The theme of the triennial conference this year was hospitality, which was reimagining hospitality, which was a really interesting theme to pick given the isolation of COVID and all of the racial tensions and so on going on in the States and residential school stuff going on here in Canada. And so this was just a really apt theme to be going over and circling around this past weekend. And one of the things that I really appreciated about the way that they approached the theme is they started with approaching it from the perspective of, before we are hosts, God is first host to us. God is the creator, and he creates, and then he invites us into his space. And I really appreciated that emphasis this weekend. But then they went on to say that God doesn't just create and invite us to be his guests. God actually comes to our space in Jesus, right? And we see Jesus function sometimes as host, you know, around the table, inviting his disciples around, and other times as guest, as he serves at people's houses and around their tables. And they really emphasize sort of the reciprocal nature of hospitality and how we need both in our lives. I really appreciated it. It was really good. There were just a couple of updates that's probably worth mentioning in particular. Camp Falcon Rock, which we have supported, the camp in Romania, we had a big fundraiser for this the other year and sent a large amount of funds to support them as they're getting underway there. They're a sister camp of Camp Caroline, and they are doing well enough that they now need more missionaries. And we recently just heard that they have now more missionaries in place. They started just a month ago. And so that we can just continue to pray for Camp Falcon Rock to be a blessing to the people in Romania there. I attended a number of breakout sessions. They're always on different topics, and some of them are sort of the missional stuff, and you guys have heard a lot of that before. But the one in particular that I wanted to give you an update on, which I just found fascinating, was you know, in light of what's going on with residential schools and the whole that whole topic and conversation at the moment in our culture. They actually had a breakout session that was led by a Canadian Indigenous man who is a pastor and was able to share just reflections on what's going on right now within our culture and responding to it in a Christian way and so on. And it was just a fascinating thing that this guy talked about how all natives are affected by residential schools, not just those who went through it. I found that really fascinating as he started to explain it. This is a guy who, I think he said he's 47. And he explained how every single person in his family was an addict and how everyone was an addict because of trauma that they had been through. And all of the trauma that they had been through was related to the residential school system. It was just mind-blowing and heartbreaking at the same time. He shared about his grandmother's experience at a residential school. She was one of 12 siblings who went to residential school and completely lost their identity to the point where when they came home, they all became addicts. They had no way to cope. And so all of them became addicts. And then they all had families and who then were not able to cope as well. Tragically, this is his story that he's sharing. It's like my whole family, it's a family tree of addicts as a result of trauma. It was just heartbreaking to hear. He shared about how, you know, we're hearing about church burnings these days, sadly. And he explained to us that, you know, we're a group of Baptists coming together. And he explained to us, I thought this was really helpful, that natives don't differentiate between denominations, which I just thought was fantastic because often that means that they have better theology than we do. Yes, you should laugh at that and you should cringe at that at the same time. That we are one body and therefore we need to own that responsibility and that pain. And we have talked about that in previous weeks. But we are one body and we shouldn't be try to consider ourselves so separate that we can somehow divorce ourselves from what other parts of the body did to our First Nations friends. So I found that really, really helpful. Someone asked him, you know, how is it that we can come alongside those who are hurting right now? They're being triggered by their trauma reactions are coming out as they're being triggered by the things that are happening these days. And I found it fascinating as he said, you know what we need? We need more of Job's friends at the beginning where all they do is come alongside and shut up and grieve. He said, this is a time to lament. This is a time just to sit quietly and grieve alongside some people who need it. And then he said, and I'll close with this. He said, what I hope happens and what I need, what I think needs to happen here in Canada is we need to get to a point where we become like Germany, where they have Auschwitz, and Auschwitz is still open. And in fact, it's required every year that their students, as they are moving through their system, go to Auschwitz or a camp like that so they can learn from it and ensure they never repeat it. And he said, that's what I hope happens in Canada. That's what I feel like needs to happen. So anyway, training was just a really helpful and fascinating experience. So I share that with you for what it's worth. Next family update. And this is an exciting one. Not the triangle wasn't exciting, but you'll appreciate this. Nicole Stolte has had her baby. And so this is Aubrielle Grace Diane Stolte. She was born on July the 6th. You can see the weight there. We are welcoming her as part of our wider church family now. And so she was born early, I believe 34 or 35 weeks. So she's still in the NICU. And Nicole's having a hard time saying goodbye at the end of every day to go home because she can't sleep there overnight. And so we can be praying for Nicole during this time as well. But we're gonna welcome God's new gift of life to Nicole and to our congregation as a whole. So with that, let's go to prayer. Lord, I think about the families that you have placed us in, this ABA family. I personally am so grateful for Terry Fossen. I am so grateful for the privilege of being a part of the North American Baptists. I find it a gift to be known and a gift to be associated with others. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the ways that we have been able to give to the NAB and the ways that we've been able to receive, particularly from the ABA and from Terry and Jim previously. We give you thanks for a wider family that comes together for common purposes and mutual support and the desire to see your kingdom come and to be part of it here. So I thank you for them. I pray for Terry. I pray for Dr. Harry Kelm is our new executive director. I pray for Matt Wilkes in his new role as associate regional minister and ask that you give them your blessing, your wisdom, your strength as they seek ways to serve you by serving the churches, the local congregations that you love. I pray that neighborhoods and non-Christians would be blessed because people like Matt and Terry and Harry have served in this way. And may you credit it to their account. Lord, I think of the things that I learned this weekend about hospitality and about relationships with our Indigenous friends, and some of whom are brothers and sisters in Christ. And as they grieve right now and lament, would you make us people who come alongside when Job's friends did the wise thing? I pray that you would make us like that, that we would not be people who look down and scorn or try to distance ourselves in some way, close our ears or anything like that. May we be people who weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. So Lord, I pray for peace, and I pray that you would make us peacemakers. Lord, I thank you for the gift that Aubrielle is to Nicole. I pray for strength for Aubrielle as she grows. I pray you grow her quickly and get her out of the hospital and home with mom as soon as possible. I pray you give Nicole strength and peace as she has to wait to take her baby home and just has these additional challenges that come with a preterm baby arriving. And so, Lord, Would you strengthen her? Would you make yourself known to her? Would you support her in every way possible? And again, we thank you that you are the God who gives life. Lord, I pray you keep giving life. I pray that you would breathe life into this congregation by your Spirit. We want to be people who hear your word spoken in our ears, received in our hearts. We want to be people who sense you at work and are ready and willing to respond. So Lord, as we open your scriptures this morning, I ask that you would make us a receptive people. I ask for tender hearts. How many times, Lord, in scripture did you say, get rid of your hearts of stone and get a heart of flesh? And Lord, I'm going to need your help with that. Would you help me with that? I'm willing to be made willing, as I heard a friend say recently. Lord, I want to participate with you in whatever it is that you are doing. So whatever it is that you want from me, you have it. Lord, we come here to offer not just a portion of our morning and a small amount of our attention or a small amount of our money or something like that. We come here to do what you told us to do in Romans 12, which is offer our bodies, which means our entire lives, as a living sacrifice. Think about the fact that you called us to take up our cross and follow you, that our life is no longer our own. I think of the identity that we receive in baptism, where I get left under the water. And what I get when I come up is Christ instead. So Lord, I pray that that would be something that we would live here this morning. I pray that whatever it is you say, you have my yes. Even before I hear you say it, you have my yes. Lord, bless this time. I pray that everything that I say that is not of you would quickly blow away. I pray that everything that is from you would remain, and that you would make us people who build our lives on the rock. In Jesus' name, amen. Please don't grab your Bibles. Please close your eyes, even if you're at home. I was reminded in one of our other breakout sessions yesterday that scripture was meant to be heard, not read, because of course, many of the people who received scripture were illiterate, and it was read to them in church. The worship service, I should say. I'm going to read a number of scriptures, and I'm going to read them slowly so that they have time to land with you a little bit more. Everything that I'm going to read is from Jesus. This is Jesus' direct words. Everything that I read from scripture is always from Jesus, but this is particularly Jesus, Jesus' words here. I'm going to be reading first from Matthew 18, starting at verse 21. Please, please really do close your eyes. And this is a story. So picture the story in your mind. Picture the characters, the facial expressions. Sorry, verse 23 of Matthew 18. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt sold into slavery. When he heard this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I'll pay back everything." The master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." The first one refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. The master called that servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Also, Jesus, Matthew 5, beginning at verse 21. "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,'" which is probably like moron or something, "is answerable to the court, and anyone who says 'You fool' will be in danger of fire of hell." Therefore, if you're even offering your gift at the altar, if you're at your worship service, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come offer your gift." Still Jesus. One page over, Matthew 6, verse 9. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into trial, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Still Jesus, one more page over, Matthew 7, looking at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is the word of the Lord, friends. Thanks be to God. Do we mean that? These are hard words. And they're pretty self-explanatory, aren't they? Hard, self-explanatory words. We got a builder here. This is clearly a metaphor for our lives, right? We're all building something. And the question as we build our lives is, what are we building on, right? You know this metaphor. And the words that Jesus speaks here about building your life on his words don't just apply to the Sermon on the Mount. This applies to everything Jesus says. And we can't even draw a distinction between what Jesus says and what Paul says and what Deuteronomy says and all that. It's all breathed by the Spirit. But we need to apply it specifically to what we have been talking about for lo these many months. Today, we need to apply that specifically to forgiveness. Specifically to reconciliation. Everyone who has not and does not make the effort to reconcile, everyone who has not and does not let go of anger, everyone who has not and does not forgive, finds themselves in camp two that Jesus talked about there. If we don't bless our enemies, if we don't approach those who have hurt us, they should be the ones coming to me. No, not according to Jesus. But he hurt me. I know. Jesus says, go to him. There's only two camps here. The wise builder is the one who hears Jesus' words and does Jesus' words. The wise builder is not the one who can recite Jesus' words. We can all recite the Sermon on the Mount. Not all of us are living the Sermon on the Mount. So we only have two camps. And the wise one is the one who actually does what Jesus says. And then we have a foolish builder. This isn't an insult. It's not an insult to call someone foolish when they're not choosing to do what Jesus says, because they have rejected the very thing that would bring them life, which is obedience to Jesus. It's not an insult. It's a diagnosis, right? If your doctor diagnoses you with something, he's not trying to hurt your feelings, right? This isn't about your value. This is about the choices that you and I make and whether or not we are actually going to self-destruct based on the choices that we make. And Jesus calls it foolish to choose a self-destructive choice, to make a self-destructive choice. It's self-destructive because we're not going to be able to prove Jesus wrong by going our own way and not doing what he says. And that applies to every person who holds a grudge, every person who chooses to let the sun go down on their anger. It applies to anyone who keeps any sort of bitterness in their lives, any of it, any trace, any hint. It's foolish. It's self-destructive. It applies to anyone who would curse their neighbor, like wish them ill. Like if we don't wish them well, we wish them ill, right? And this is, we only get two camps. Jesus only gave us two. And the foolish one is the one who chooses self-destruction instead. And unfortunately, Christians, so many of us, we fall into that foolish camp. We deceive ourselves because we can recite the words, right? When I started reading out loud the story about a king who calls his servants to account, you already knew the story, right? I couldn't really hide that from most of you. As soon as I read the words about anyone who hears these words is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, you don't even need me to complete that, do you? Because you've heard it so many times. You've read it so many times. You know this stuff. I know this stuff. And we're even more foolish and self-deceived because of that, when we don't actually do what it says. But there are many of us that still haven't made a phone call after 3 months of talking about forgiveness. And there are some of us who still haven't forgiven after 3 months of talking about forgiveness. And there's no other label for that than the ones that Jesus uses. And it's either wise or foolish, depending on the choice that we have made. And like I said, there is no third group. There's no group of people who have chosen to abstain. When I was voting at the NAB conference, we had to elect a number of members to their governing board. And so a Zoom poll comes up on my screen, and I only have two options. It's, do I vote in favor of this person or do I not? I wanted to abstain on a number of them because I didn't know them. But I didn't have a choice. And I wanted to vote in Terry, so I couldn't just click off. I had to do the whole thing. And Jesus doesn't give the people who hear him the third option, because there isn't one. So there's no third option to abstain. We don't get to just sort of date Jesus and then decide maybe at some point I will be baptized and give my life up for Jesus. No, it's either you're in or out. You're either wise or a fool. There's no sort of I'm thinking about it. There's no stage for I'm still processing this, Jesus, because your words are really clear, but it's really hard. Jesus just doesn't give us that option. I'd really like one. I wanted to abstain, and I didn't get it. I'm sure that the first people who heard the Sermon on the Mount wanted to abstain on a lot of this stuff, because it's going to take some really, really hard work. And we're just not offered that. There's no more third group here at Unity anymore. And I'm dead serious about that. Jesus didn't give us that option. So there's no more sweeping things under the carpet and not dealing with it. There's no more painting the elephant in the room to match the walls. It's no longer acceptable to continue to be angry about something that someone said or did. We're not given that option. So this isn't Ben laying down new rules. This is Ben repeating the rules that were already there that we were all, including Ben, ignoring. It's not an option anymore. Unforgiveness has been outlawed. In the chairs in front of you, you have little sheets that look like this. Pull them out, please. They're just little things. Little floppy ones this big. I went around every single chair this morning. So this is what it says on there. This is not, like I said, this isn't Ben. This is straight scripture. And we have a choice. And it's either I choose to be wise and answer yes, I will not let the sun go down on my anger anymore, and I will put away all bitterness. Please fill it out. Please, there are pencils and pens in front of all of you. It's either yes or no. I will forgive and I will bless and pray for anyone who hurts or offends me, or I will be foolish. Please fill it out because I'm going to have you do something with it. It's yes or no. I will go to those who have hurt me and attempt reconciliation because that's what scripture says. It's yes or no, wise or foolish. It's yes or no, wise or foolish. I will go to those who have something against me, even though I'm quite sure I'm right, and I will attempt reconciliation. I then put one more thing at the bottom and said that if I realize this is important and I would like help, please contact me. I'd be happy to have those conversations with you in a different tone of voice than I'm currently using, a little bit more of a pastoral one. That still at the same time won't change the scriptures. There's no more third group at unity anymore. Unity is not allowed to maintain unity at this cost. Anymore. At the cost of disobeying what Jesus says. Because unity can't afford not to build our lives together on the rock. And the rock, according to Jesus, are the words that he spoke. What I'd like you to do, sorry, you guys at home can't participate in this. Please stand. And I'm going to get mine too.
This is, what I like about this is just a box. I like about this is that this is, it looks like both a church and a house. And I like that because we're going to put this stuff in here and it can represent both your church and your house, because however you answer this, whether you choose to abstain, which isn't actually a reality, you just chose no, or you choose and write yes, you bring it to the church. And so we're actually going to come up here and we're going to file past and we're going to fold these and put them in. Because we bring our answers and we bring our lives to the church. We bring our answers and we bring our lives to our homes. We either build our lives on Jesus and what he says, or we choose the foolish route.
I want to end on a higher note than that. Hopefully that was a high note, but I understand the tone and so on. This is a true story, but the details are kept.
I've stripped out some of the details and I've kept everything anonymous for the sake of actually both parties, both the individual in our church and this story sort of could affect someone's business. And so I wanted to make sure we're also respecting sort of their livelihood and so on. And at the same time, share with you just a story about forgiveness and reconciliation and so on. Those stories are sometimes hard to share. And we've had some people come up and share confessions, share stories from up here. I know a number of people said they were just really inspired and helped by Megan sharing her story. And some of us got to watch a reconciliation in progress on a Zoom call after the service one time. And other people watched that and then got inspired and went and did similar things. And so we need to be sharing stories. And so this is a true story. What I would love to do is hear some of your stories. And so if you have a story that you want to share because you think that this can be my offering to God and a way of blessing my community to share my story of forgiveness or reconciliation or blessing an enemy or some of the things that we have talked about, please let me know. I would love to share a whole bunch of stories of forgiveness and reconciliation and blessing and all that next week, but it'll depend on whether or not I get it. And so if you want to share it, but keep it anonymous or change some of the details, happy to do that. You could come up and share the whole thing in person. You could pre-record it. You could send me an email and I could share it on your behalf. But these are things that actually do help our community. So I would love to do that next week. If not, I'll just talk about something else. Or maybe I'll talk about forgiveness for one more week, right? Anyway, so there's, if you do know who this story involves in our congregation, could you please keep that to yourself? Like, please respect the anonymity here and the reasons behind choosing anonymity for this particular story. So there was a person in our congregation who went to get their haircut, and they got a little bit more off the top than they bargained for, because in fact, what the barber ended up doing was actually slicing a good portion of their ear, to the point that this person had to go for stitches, which involved being sort of clamped down, because you can't just sort of stitch something that's floppy, right? So it was like clamping it down. It was an extremely painful event for the individual. And of course, traumatic for the barber as well, who made a mistake there. And whether it was because, you know, they were just having a bad day or didn't like what the person in the chair said or just didn't like their job and wasn't actually gifted for it in the end, you know, who knows. But the person in our congregation actually went back the next day because, of course, only half the job had been done. And I don't mean like, yep, get the rest of the ear, but the rest of the hair. And went back and, you know, had the job completed and then went to pay. And of course, the barber's like, no way. But the individual actually said, you know what, this is my way of showing you that I forgive you, that I don't hold this against you, that our relationship is good, and that the person, the barber refused, but they at least tried to pay. But they continue to go and see that barber and continue their relationship and build it that way. And so the relationship is now built on forgiveness and reconciliation. And it's not something that gets mentioned every time that they go to get their hair cut. And so this is what I like about this story is that it's a story of forgiveness. I don't hold it against you. It's a story of reconciliation. It's a story of blessing someone. At the same time. And so these are the things that we need to be doing. This is what we need to be modeling for one another. These are the stories that we need to be sharing. And so the forgiveness has power to it, because that's a relationship that continues to this day. So anyway, thank you for sharing that story. And may the Lord make us this kind of people who do this kind of thing, right? A reconciling people, a forgiving people, a people who bless, a people who, in our own small ways, try to reflect Jesus to those who don't know Jesus, as well as to one another. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for who you are. I cannot get past that image of you forgiving people as they are crucifying you. A sore ear is a small thing compared to a cross. And some of the pain that we, all of the pain, every single pain that we carry is small compared to what you suffered on our behalf. So Lord, I thank you for the example of Jesus. I thank you that you offer us life and forgiveness. Lord, remind us to be people who extend forgiveness so that we might receive forgiveness. Lord, we want to be wise builders. We have a life that's going up a brick at a time. And Lord, I want it for myself and for our church to be built, every brick of it, on the foundation of Jesus and what he says, which doesn't mean knowing the words. It means doing what the words say. So Lord, I pray for deep conviction and a movement of your spirit every single time we're tempted to go our own way. Because Lord, I can't afford to step off of that rock. Because I don't know when the wind is going to come and the waves and the storm. And I don't want the crash. So Lord, I thank you so much that what you offer us is life and freedom and peace and a strong foundation in Jesus. I thank you so much for sharing him with us. We bless you, Lord. Make us a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace. Those of you who are online, bless you and thanks for joining us. I will get to the post-service discussion once we wrap up here. So blessings. See you soon.